the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism published a report showing a correlation between campaign donations by attorneys to Wisconsin Supreme Court justices and rulings that favorably affect those same attorneys.
Jake Harper is with us. He's the author of the report. He's a Madison-based freelance reporter. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So how common is it for attorneys to give donations to Supreme Court justice candidates?
Well, I'm not sure how common it is for attorneys across the state to give to Supreme Court justices, but a large percentage of the individual contributions to Supreme Court justices are from attorneys. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of attorneys who appear before the Supreme Court, there are a large number of cases that have attorneys who have contributed to justices.
So your study wasn't making the case, I don't think, that the money given by attorneys sways justices, but you look for some correlations. What kind of things did you find?
Well, across the board, we found that attorneys who had given to the Supreme Court before about 60% of the time received a favorable ruling from the justice that they contributed to. That varies by justice a little bit, but that was the average that we found. And that by far the largest recipient of that money was Chief Justice Shirley Abramson. Mm-hmm.
And how did her votes go when compared to those donations from attorneys?
I think her rulings correlated about 58% of the time, and that actually went up with larger donations. She was more likely to vote in favor of those attorneys. Again, we're not talking about causation. This is just correlation.
And why did you track just attorneys? A lot of other groups spend money, maybe not donating directly to candidates, but in outside expenditures. Why this focus on attorneys in particular?
This was a story that occurred to me, I guess, back during Justice Rogan's sex election earlier this year. It was sort of a direction we decided to go. We felt that it was an issue that hadn't been covered before. And a lot of stories do deal with the clients or these independent expenditure groups, but we wanted to look into the attorneys specifically.
So you mentioned Justice Abramson. What did we find about the other justices that you looked at?
The numbers will come to me after this interview probably, but all of the justices ruled with their attorney donors more than 50% of the time. Except for Justice Michael Gableman, who ruled exactly half the time. And he had a fairly small number of cases. It was just 4 cases total. And then Justice Crooks also was not included in the study because he was not required to file a electronic campaign finance report.
So part of your story was tracking these correlations, and part of it was getting the reaction to them. And this comes after years of an ongoing debate about when should Supreme Court justices recuse themselves from cases. What, in getting a reaction from people, what was the sense you were getting as far as whether these numbers point toward maybe a need for more rules and recusals?
Well, I think one thing that a lot of people pointed out was that this could have to do with attorneys contributing to justices that they agree with, so that the correlation in that sense would make sense if an attorney is giving to a justice that they think will think in the same way that they do in terms of the legal issue that's before the court. I think the other issue that came up was the public perception of whether justice can be bought in a sense by people who contribute to justices' campaigns.
And is there a movement to either end attorney donations to Supreme Court justices or have more of a system to say, here's when you should recuse yourself, here's when you shouldn't?
I'm not aware of any law that deals specifically with attorney contributions, but attorneys are often lumped into this category, parties that appear before the court. And there are several laws on the books or, I guess, pending before state legislatures across the country.
Now, in your story, you talked to some advocates for reforming either the campaign contributions or the way justices deal with their donors. Did they see this as ammo for their argument, these correlations you found?
I think the general sense of what I took out of it was that this can't help the public perception of the court. I don't think I talked to anyone that said that this was definitely something that they would cite often when they're talking about these issues, but they said that any sort of correlation that contributes to this public perception that a justice is not impartial is potentially bad news for the Supreme Court.
And did you talk to any of the donors to get their reaction to this?
I was able to speak with one donor on the phone, and I attempted to contact others and did not hear back.
What was the reaction from the one donor?
It was not great, as people who have read the report might have seen this, but he did not seem happy that I was asking about these contributions, and he basically said that there was no correlation between the decisions that he got.
And then did you get try to get a reaction from any of the justices or spokespeople for them?
I reached out to all seven of the Supreme Court justices. In the end, I only spoke with Justice Patrick Crooks and Justice Patience Rogensack, and I received an email response from the Chief Justice, but she did not respond to a request for an interview.
And Justice Rogensack made an argument that I think she's made elsewhere during her last campaign, in fact, that it's not that the donations cause the vote, it's that people make donations to judges they feel will represent them in a certain way.
Yeah, and she also made another point about a proposal that came before the court in past years as well, was that basically there was this proposal in 2008 from the League of Women Voters asking that the court force recusal when they've received a $1,000 contribution. And she basically said that attorneys or anyone who might appear before the court could use that rule to basically get justices off the bench. They could donate $1,000 and remove justices that they don't like from the bench and keep them from ruling.
And how did the campaign finance advocates respond to that?
I think one of them talked about an alligator coming out of his ear and how unlikely that was. That was Jay Heck of Common Cause. And I think the general sense that was that if something like that were to happen, then there would then be a rule put in place to prevent that.
So the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, over the years, they've had some image issues, to put it mildly. Is this just a kind of another straw on the camel's back, hurting people's perception of the court?
I think the report is too new to really be able to tell that. As you said, there are a number of issues that sort of color the image of the court, of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I think it remains to be seen whether this report will do anything to affect that.
And are you going to follow this up with anything else along a similar vein?
We've got a number of stories, I guess, to look into. I think there are other possibilities with this data that I've collected and I'm going to look in and see what else might be there.
All right. Well, Jake, thanks so much for joining us and sharing this information.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Jake Harper. He's a Madison-based freelance journalist, and his report on donations to Supreme Court justices is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.